Read this morning a passage from the scriptures. It's from Colossians chapter 4, and in your pew Bible it's on page 1184, and it's from Colossians 4 verses 2 to 6, and it's entitled Further Instructions. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Going to hand over now to Chris as he brings this morning's word to us.
Well, thanks to James. It's always a privilege to work alongside James. I'm really grateful for the Webb family and all that they do and bring to us. A wonderful family, aren't they? You agree? Yeah, three other people agree, so that's good. Yeah. We're thinking, aren't we, in this series about being fruitful on the front line, and we've been using the book of Colossians, the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the little church of Colossae, and it was written in about AD 60, so still in living memory of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Just about 30 years after his resurrection. You remember 30 years ago? Some of you won't, because you're too young. But I was married about 30 years ago, so I do remember, roughly, what was happening 30 years ago. So in living memory, and the church is still really grappling with, how do we live now we know that God loves us so much and he's won victory over even death? The worst that our enemies can do to us is kill us. But Jesus has conquered death. He's risen from the dead. So how do we live in the light of that? And the Apostle Paul is helping them work that out. How should they live in the light of who Jesus is and who they are in him? Colossae itself was just a small market town, and it used to be quite a major important place, but now as time's moved on, it's starting to turn a little bit seedy. The old glory started to fade. And most of them have returned to ordinary farming, keeping sheep, perhaps weaving some wool and selling the cloth. So ordinary farming community. And probably less than 5% of them would have been able to read or write. So this letter would have been read out to them so that they could hear what the apostle was saying, because they wouldn't be able to read it for themselves. And a third of them, I've said this a few times, but a third of them would have been slaves. So really no time to themselves, no time to sit and think about what the apostle had written to them, except when they could sneak out perhaps at night to meet with the other believers and talk about these important things that they were living out. And it was to these ordinary men and women that the apostle wrote about God's great plans and the part that he had for them, ordinary farming folk and slaves, to be part of that reconciling work. God had brought all things together in Christ, reconciling all things to himself, not just human beings, but everything in heaven on earth. And then invited the Colossians to be part of that process of inviting others to be reconciled with God. It reminded them that they were once alienated from God, but they'd experienced themselves being brought back into right relationship with God. So having experienced this reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ, each believer is invited to be part of the envoy of the coming kingdom, revealing the mystery of Christ. So on Sundays and in small groups, we've begun to examine how we can respond to that. How can we live that out? How can we live in the light of this call to be envoys of a coming kingdom? In our everyday lives, right where God's placed us, And so far, we've thought about five different ways that we can do that, and they all start with M. And you all know them, don't you? Because we've looked at them week after week after week. So there's no point in me saying them. So, given that you already know them, I just want you to talk to somebody, maybe twos and threes around you. What were those five M's? And what was it all about? What's this series been about? So just have a conversation. If you happen to find yourself in a three, that nobody's been here for any of them, okay, just think about the reading you had earlier. Okay, so just get together. You don't need to write anything down at this stage. Just have a conversation with each other. What were those five M's? And what were they roughly about? What's the whole thing been about? Okay. That's cheating. All right. So who's got all five then? Who's remembered all five? Have you noticed how whenever you any list that you try and do, you can never remember one of them at least. There's always one that you can't remember, whether it's the seven dwarves or the reindeer or whatever. But the five M's that we've done so far. So who can start me off? Who's got the first M then? Sophie. A messenger of the gospel. That's today. That's cheating. but God bless you for cheating in the right way. Yeah. Yeah. Moulding. Yeah. That, not as in going off, but yeah, we do that naturally, don't we? And what we're moulding? We're moulding jelly babies. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So we're supposed to be moulding culture. Moulding culture. All right. Let me give me another M. Mercy is a wonderful M, but that wasn't one of them. It was a good guess. It was a good guess. But we really ought to be merciful towards you, yeah. The mouthpiece of truth and justice, yeah? Speaking for truth and justice. Okay, so that's two. Just three more to do. Making good work, that's three. No. Yeah. Doing something godly character. What are we doing modelling godly character. Yeah, okay. That just leaves us with that tricky one that we're never going to quite remember, doesn't it? Oh. If I was to... somebody said it. Ministering... something. Grace and love. Ministering grace and love. So there you are, James. It's not just the Sunday school that don't remember stuff, you see. It's us as well. We're just the same. So those are the sort of things that we've been talking about. So you were given a little yellow sticky or an orange sticky or some colour sticky when you came in. I just wonder what you think the theme has been of this series. So given that we were thinking about those five M's, those five different things, what do you think the overall theme has been of what I've been talking about? So just write down a sentence to say it. You think the theme of what we've been talking about is this. It'd just be interesting to hear what you think I've been saying. Because sometimes you say one thing, but another thing's heard. So it'd be interesting to hear what you've heard rather than what I've said. So don't write me an essay. So the title of the series is Fruitfulness on the Front Line. That might give you a clue. But don't just write that down. So we've been thinking about these different ways in which we can live out the gospel, and that it's not just by converting people to Christ, but there is all kinds of ways that we can live out the significance of the gospel, right where God's placed us. Last week we were speaking about truth and justice, and speaking up for truth and justice where God's placed us. And I argued that the prophetic gifting in the New Testament was largely used inside the church, that it wasn't God's call that we go out and tell the world how to live without Christ, but rather that we speak to those with Christ inside the church. So the prophet's work was mainly inside the church. And today we're going to think about the way that Paul encouraged the Colossians to speak to those outside the church. In what way should they be speaking to those without Christ? And that's where our final M comes in, being messengers of the gospel. So Paul reveals that everyone who's been reconciled to God has become part of an active mission to reconcile all things to God. We've seen that we can do that in whatever we do, whether in word or deed. Whatever we do, whether word or deed. But it also includes speaking about the kingdom of God. So the very ordinary believers in Colossae are called to look outward, to look beyond themselves, to pray for the apostles' evangelistic work, to be alert to their own opportunities, and to proclaim what Paul calls the mystery of Christ. So the proclamation of the gospel is the key way in which the church is called to speak to those outside. And as we've seen, the gospel is far more than Jesus died to save you. It is that, in case you want to remove me from ministry. It is that Jesus died to save you. But it's far more than that. It's about the whole of creation and God reconciling all things to himself so that all of our life is offered up to him. So it's a mystery of who God is, who we are, and what God's plan is to reconcile all things to himself in Christ. That's what the mystery is that Paul says has been revealed to him, to the Colossians, and that we proclaim to those outside. And that word proclaim was used twice in our little reading. Paul asks for prayer in his process of doing that, that he and the other apostles will be able to proclaim the mystery of Christ clearly. And then that seems to be a model, that proclamation of Christ seems to be a model of the way that the Colossians should proclaim Christ as well. I want to just look briefly at what that might look like. What was that way that he introduced them to? The first was praying devotedly. And if you want to find a reference for that, it's chapter 4 and verses 2 to 4. Praying with watchfulness and thankfulness. And Paul has said that he does this for the Colossians. And he invites them to do this for him. It's an important part of being able to proclaim the gospel. Praying for others. We can see that in verses 3a and 4. Praying in dependence on God. In verse 3. Praying that Christ will be proclaimed clearly. Verse 4. The Apostle Paul needed these ordinary Christians to pray for him that he could proclaim the gospel clearly. So that surely says that no one can feel bold enough to proclaim the gospel without other people praying for them. It is essential, it's an essential part of the proclamation of the gospel that you have people praying for you. And Paul received practical help from the Colossian Christians. So practical and prayerful support to make it possible, even for an apostle, to proclaim the mystery of Christ. So praying devotedly. Secondly, acting wisely. Verse 5. The ordinary, everyday Christians were to act wisely in the way that they dealt with those outside the church, not just the apostles, but they too were to be proclaimers of Christ, by acting wisely towards people and making the most of every opportunity. And then speaking graciously. Verse 6, being civil, polite, gentle, inoffensive, using speech that builds rapport with people. And with answers ready for those who challenge or are curious about our faith. That word, being prepared to give an answer, probably triggers in a lot of people's minds the verse from 1 Peter chapter 3 and 13 to 16. We find the Apostle Peter offering exactly the same pattern for sharing the gospel to that we've seen in Paul's letter to the Colossians. You might pick up some of the same things about good work and modelling godly character and so forth. So I'll read that to you. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 13. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the faith and hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So Peter offers similar advice about the way that we should respond to those outside the church, and not just doing it with words, but in our actions as well. But he's very clear that we do need to be prepared to speak. And that word prepared is not so much trained, not so much gone to mission school or evangelist school before you open your mouth, but prepared as in be willing and expectant. So that if somebody says to you, why are you doing that? You are willing to give an answer and expectant that you will be required to give an answer. It is often argued that we should share the gospel without words. So I need to repeat what I've said before. Jesus used words to proclaim the gospel. Jesus did fantastic miracles. He was the Son of God. And yet, he had to use words as well as doing miracles and being kind to people. He still had to use words. Paul specifically asks how someone can respond to the gospel unless they hear. And he says, how will they hear unless someone proclaims it? How will they hear unless somebody preaches to them? Not in the technical sense of a sermon, but speaks to them about the gospel. So whilst there are many ways in which we can share the good news, and we've looked at five other ways, in the end, we do need to use words. People need to understand something about the faith that we're sharing. So how do we apply that? Well, if we've been thinking about the way that the gospel impacts on us, that this speaking needs to arise from an experience that we've had, an experience of being reconciled to God. Colossians 2:4-6 reflects what the Bible says elsewhere, that godly walk goes in hand with godly talk, that we share from those things that are happening in our heart. So the cross impacts us, and we then speak about the cross to others who then receive something, some understanding of what the cross is through that speaking. I want to note the assumption here that Christianity is not what is called these days privatized. It's not just something you do in your own home, in the privacy of your own room, but something that is in the marketplace, something that people will know about and be interested to ask questions about. It's lived out in the public spaces of everyday life. And at stake is our daily life, lived out beside others before the watching community, where the message of the gospel is seen lived out in our lives as well as spoken out by those who claim to believe it. Some of you will have heard this morning on the radio, they were interviewing the pastor of a church next to where a gas explosion had taken place. And they'd opened the doors and said, come in. And, what church wouldn't want to do that? You know, we want absolutely be there for the community. But having got him on the radio, they said to the pastor, this is a good thing that you're doing. And he said, yes, he said. The Bible tells us that we should not only proclaim the gospel with words, but in actions. Wow. Was he prepared to give an answer? And he said, and by the way, we got a service at 10:30 this morning. He was prepared. And now he probably did have a little think before he went on the radio. And maybe he'd had three interviews before that where he'd muffed it. But by that time, he got it nailed. He got Jesus into the conversation. He got in that the church were great and they were doing a great job and how much he loved them. And that the service was at 10:30. Well done. But that's what it means to be prepared and to live out that faith. Having experienced something of Christ, they were able to share something with that local community and then speak about it. We're not just doing this because we're nice people, but because of what Christ has done for us and what he says about how we should behave. So Paul expects that the Colossians are going to be able to hold their own on the market stalls, in the workplace, at the meal tables, at the public baths and in the city squares. So the challenge there, isn't there, for us to understand our faith at least sufficiently well to explain it and explain what we don't understand, to say, well, I don't know about that. You'll have to ask somebody else. So we don't need to know all the answers, but we need to be ready to give an answer, even if it is, I don't know. I think the other encouragement is that it's not beyond us. If it was the Apostle Paul was writing to these Colossians and saying, you need to do this, you need to be taking every opportunity that you have as slaves, as illiterate people, as ordinary working farming folk, then we too, with far more advantages and education than they had, have got a calling to give an answer, to use the opportunities that we have. So how should we respond then? Well, we've been placed here in Burwell, and we too, many of us, have experienced that reconciliation with God when once alienated, now reconciled to God. We've experienced the cross and its impact on our lives. It's begun to change our hearts. And we've thought about the many ways we might live it out. But we need to be bold to speak about the truth of the gospel too, as well as living it out. So we need to pray devotedly. And I'd like to think about just very briefly three things that we can think about that this morning. Joy very kindly spoke to us this morning about her calling. Isn't that a wonderful use of the great gift that God's given to Joy, which I'm sure she could have gone away and made a fortune with, but instead she's making a fortune, maybe not, making a pittance, but for a reward in heaven. And I saw so much of Jesus in what Joy's doing. You know, she's bringing healing into people's lives practically, but also she wants them to know good news about Jesus. Not possible for her to stand on the street corner and shout that out, but she's speaking it and praying it into their lives day by day. So can she do that on her own? Because the Apostle Paul, he couldn't do it on his own. So is Joy more capable of doing it than the Apostle Paul? Probably not. And she said, I need you to pray with me. And if you want to be part of that frontline work, pray with me. So that being devoted to prayer is important, and it's an important part of it. And we need to pray for one another. None of us is going to be bold enough to speak about Christ as we should unless we're praying for each other. And we've been doing that in our small groups. We were praying just this last Thursday for the people that the Lord had placed on our hearts, and that we would be bold to speak to them as the Lord led. So we need to pray for one another. And just opportunity, don't let it go by. Baptist Missionary Society, you know, we support them financially, but that's not enough. We need to pray for Alan and Megan, who have gone through a lot this last year and really need God's help and wisdom in their timings and what they should do for the next part of their life. So we need to pray for those that are in this ministry of sharing the good news with words. Secondly, we need to act wisely. And the Lord very clearly said to us that we should discover our gifts, that we should invite others in, and that we should go out into the community. And one of the ways that we've been doing that, and we decided as a church to do that, was to support the farmers market and for people to serve tea and coffee to people there. Now, it's great that some have signed up. The good news is, yes, yeah, great, it's great. But there's still some slots left. Wouldn't it be great if Nikki had to say to somebody, I'm really sorry, all the slots are taken, you'll have to wait until next time. All you have to do is, can you make a cup of tea? It hands up anybody that can't make a cup of tea. Even Sophie can make a cup of tea, okay? So everybody can make a cup of tea. Anybody that can make an instant cup of coffee, we can all manage that. That's all you got to do. Nikki's done all the hard bits. She's baked the cakes and all that stuff. You just, and be civil. Now that, I've struggled with that bit. But the rest, we can manage. So, Yeah, if Nikki can manage it, you can manage it. Okay. So there is a sign-up list to do that. So just in terms of acting wisely, that's just an example of, you know, just by being there, by being a presence in the farmer's market and supporting them, and whilst you're not serving coffee, maybe pray for those people that are working on the craft stalls or the farming markets, the different people that are offering things there. And people will come to you, and they will pour their hearts out to you if you're just there to act wisely as God gives us that opportunity. And speaking graciously. It's not enough for us to leave it to others. There'll be times when you, inadequate though you feel, are required to speak. We're not all evangelists, fully accept that, but we're all called to share what we know, and we can all invite. So I'm going to give you some evangelistic training this morning, okay? All right, so repeat after me. We will you come to my church. We're done. Okay? You know what to say now. If somebody, you know, you can't think what you can possibly say to them, there's an evangelistic line you've got up your sleeve. Will you come to my church? And you've got an invitation to help you with that. The Gonzalez family are providing all the baptisms at the moment, and we're really grateful for Mark. And wasn't that a great baptismal service? Andrew is selling DVDs at about 25 quid a throw. It was a great service, a real sense of God's Spirit here. Now, Easter, isn't Easter always a great service? Fantastic service, a day of great celebration. And we've got a baptism. The roof, we're going to have to extra insure the roof. Because a baptism times an Easter service is going to be explosive. It's going to be a great service to invite people to. So, invitations. Will you come to my church Easter day? Who could possibly resist that invitation? So, take an invitation with you and think about who God's asking you to invite. It may be that that will lead to a conversation. You go to church? Or, well, why have you never asked me before? Or, do you think I need it? Whatever that conversation is, be prepared to give an answer. Even if it is, oh, didn't you know? I'm sorry about that. We'd love you to come. So I just want you to take a moment to think about that. Who will you invite to the Easter service? And we're going to pray about that. So who will you invite to the Easter service? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what an amazing privilege it is that having laid down your life for us and conquered death, broken the power of our own sin, demonstrated your great love to us and introduced us to your Heavenly Father as your beloved children, that you then ask us to represent you, to not be ashamed of you, but to invite others into that relationship. We just ask, Lord, that you would put on our hearts who it is you want us to invite into that experience of you. Whether or not they come is up to them, but put on our hearts to invite. We ask that by your Spirit you will enable us to give an answer that is glorifying to you when we're asked to give one. We ask it, Lord, for your glory.